Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the lovely Jenny Hubby.
Hey, Bruce. Hi, everyone.
All right, your second week back now.
Yeah, I feel like I'm back in the saddle.
What are you tolerating this week?
The weather, the heat. Right, there, and, you know, it's a serenity prayer. I can't change the weather as much as I would like to.
I'm going to set a limit and boundary today of air conditioning.
Right.
Going over here, too, on the south side of the pond. So, Well, we have a wonderful guest with us here today. We have a young man who is probably, I feel sure, the youngest recovery coach in the history of recovery coaching and even life coaching for that. Well, I wouldn't say life coaching, but certainly recovery coaching. And so we have Kyle LeCompte with us today. He's going to tell us a little bit about his experience and kind of walk us through the whole process in terms of some of the things he was going through and what led him to coaching, and even get some perceptions from him, because he just finished his mainline coaching school yesterday. So he's really now, all this is super fresh.
Awesome.
So welcome to the show, Kyle.
Thank you for having me, Bruce and Jenny.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So go ahead and walk us through a little bit about what was going on. Maybe all this kind of started while you were in high school, and kind of walk us through some of your experiences with substance use, etc.
Yeah, so I grew up in the North Texas area, Flower Mound, Texas, my whole life. And then high school came around. I always did well in school since sophomore year rolled around, and, you know, was at a party and stuff, and smoked weed for the first time. Didn't think it was a big deal. Didn't, you know, everyone was doing it, so I liked it. Did it again the next weekend, and then so on and so on. And before you knew it, I was, you know, a full-time stoner, basically. And once that didn't cut it, then I started, you know, doing other things and harder things. And then I went off to graduate in 2016, went to the University of Arkansas. Once I got there, you know, this was right in the prime of, you know, my substance abuse, and got there and it just, you know, just took a bad turn to things got out of hand. I couldn't handle it anymore. I came home halfway through the second semester because I, like I said, I just could not handle it anymore. I lost my identity somewhere along the way, and then came back home in April of 2017, and I spent probably, you know, since that time, you know, I've tried to get sober and I failed so many times. And then this past March, I came to his office and I met Bruce Cameron. And, you know, probably the third or fourth time of me really trying to get sober, then that so far, this is the longest that I've succeeded. And, you know, seeing the success that it had on me, and I wanted to go back and become a recovery coach and help prevent other youth in this, you know, in the North Texas area from going down the path that I did. Cause now I see that there's so much more to life than just getting high during, you know, high school and throwing it all away. So.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about his journey is that I don't think he's ever set foot in a 12-step meeting yet.
Wow.
And has produced clean time without having to go to a 12-step meeting. And that's kind of odd. You know, it's kind of different, isn't it?
It is different. And, you know, the odds are, you know, anybody staying sober, clean and sober, it's a minority. The odds are small. So for you to do it, congratulations, Kyle. It's really awesome and at your young age. So talk about, could you talk about a little bit about how you accomplished this to this point?
Yeah, of course. So the 12, like what Bruce said, the 12 step, that language just doesn't really resonate with me. It doesn't, knowing like how bad the drugs are for you and like the health concerns and that kind of stuff, like that doesn't deter me either. So ultimately what was what really motivated me was seeing how my actions were affecting those closest to me and my family. And, you know, when you don't see it or you see it or you just don't care. So this last time in March when I got caught with drugs and stuff on my mom, I after a few days passed and I wasn't really high anymore, I was able to see like just the pain and the problems that I was causing in my family's life. And it just wasn't fair to anybody. So that was the main, that was the biggest wake up call for me. Was seeing that,
so. Yeah. Having that wake up call. So what did you do next?
So there's an interesting hook in there with this, is that there was a moment early on where early on in my relationship with him, going through the assessment and those things, rehab was an option in my mind.
Day.
Yeah, the first thing. Yeah. Rehab was definitely an option.
In your mind. Yeah.
And yet that notion was stopped by a family member, and the family member was involved in the session and absolutely said, I am not going to do that. And this is so interesting and so different. And the reason why they weren't going to do that is they felt that Kyle was doing a, whatever you do, don't throw me in the pawpaw patch type of thing. And that family member said, don't you see, you're playing into his hand.
He wants to go to treatment.
Yeah.
He really wants to do that.
I said, well, we can do life coaching and we can do life coaching principles and really and do that. And let's see if that works. And, so far so good. But, I'll have him share what he did with himself at his own work. But also he maintains a fairly normal, if you will, lifestyle of activities and those things. But yeah, if you want, kind of talk to Jenny or talk to our listeners about, okay, so you're not going to rehab. So what kinds of things did you work on mentally in addition to knowing the harm you had done to your family, which is, very, very, very devastating, of course. But what are some of the things you did as time moved along to facilitate and maintain your sobriety?
So when I first tried getting sober, I was in house arrest mode. So I wasn't leaving my house without any supervision. So even if I wanted to, go buy some weed or do whatever, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And it was the biggest thing at the beginning, because had I been able to leave my house and, drive myself to work, I definitely probably would have, bought whatever. So, but then as time went on, I was able to, as each and every day passed, I started, instead of feeling like that, being pissed off at night because I wasn't able to, get drugs, I was starting to feel happy and, relieved that, okay, this is a day done, one day sober, 2 days, 3 days. Just taking it one day at a time opposed to looking at, a month, 2 months. So that was the big thing. And then for me personally, it's always at night that urge comes to want to use drugs and drink and whatnot. So whenever I would get those urges, and I still do, I throw on some Netflix or something and just get really deep into the show. And 15 minutes later, I forgot all about it. So.
Wow.
So.
Well,
and then obviously, the support of my family and peers, alone. So.
Now, did Bruce also help, educate your family on disease and recovery and, you know, what that looks like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So they knew how to support you.
Exactly, yeah. That, and that's the biggest thing, is knowing how to, instead of...
Yes.
I feel like the previous times, my mom looked at me like a victim, or either as a victim or a criminal. There was no in-between, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel around, it was finally... She was looking at me for what I was, really was, and she was hands-on and so supportive. And, you know, like I said, without her, any of the support, like, you can't do it by yourself, no matter how strong.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we did take a family systems approach, because, you know, and the mom has a certain way of seeing him, and, you know. And
sure.
Yeah. I mean, like any mom would.
Yeah.
Dances and... Okay, and then, you know, her, you know, the stepdad or whatever, and then other family members, and kind of we have that. And I think an interesting thing is that by not going to the meetings and having where he had family time, he was on house arrest, he had frequent drug testing and accountability and monitoring his phone and his car, he had a job, he's in school. You know, and then and the relative appointments and having a healthy lifestyle, man, that's a busy day. And what that does is, you know, you and I know that in those meetings, particularly with the youth, shoot, a third of them are high as, I'm going to go on record and say, depending on the group, but a third of the people can be high in the damn youth group. Right?
I have heard that, yeah.
You've got plugs and dealers and crap in these groups. I mean, man, why am I going to subject, you know, why would I subject this kid, young man, to that if we can kind of get by with a closer paradigm, you know?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to go with naltrexone or Vivitrol injections or anything else, you know, but we didn't really have to pull out any of the chemical agents, you know, to facilitate anything.
Yeah.
You're able to do this kind of with a behavioral paradigm and with what you and I both know as coaches, you know, positive psychology, goal setting, staying on track, looking at various, you know, parts of your life and where they might be able to head. And, you know, so it is interesting, because I think it sounds like a heavy lift, but this young man is 20 years old.
I mean, it's amazing.
Think about that. That's pretty finite. You know what I mean? With all these
I know. I think it's really cool that... I think the challenge, one of the challenges with youth and getting sober and getting clean and sober, is that you have less control over your life and your schedule than, say, an independent adult does. And so, having those limitations it could be an advantage. So, it sounds like y'all made it an advantage. Him having logistical limitations, you just utilize that in his treatment to help him recover.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way, but yeah, that's exactly what we did. And yeah, I mean, it helped. Like I said, had I not been on house arrest those first couple of days, I mean, there's not a doubt in my mind that I wouldn't have gone and bought drugs or, you know, done something worse. So.
Yeah. And then you found a way to replace that with things that were meaningful for you once you were clear-minded.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. So like I said, with the urges and stuff at night, I just turn on some Netflix, and that, you know, that's the biggest thing for me. It helped me, you know, put my thoughts elsewhere. And then during the day, you know, just did everything I could to stay busy, whether, you know, school, picking up shifts at work, and then on my off days, you know, just spend time with family, whether it's swimming or, you know, doing whatever. So
yeah, you're playing floor hockey.
Yeah, playing sports. I'm a big sports guy. So during that time,
that sounds like a great rehab plan.
No, man, I think I have a little.
I'm telling you, you got a cottage industry there.
I'm gonna have my own rehab down here.
I know, between the two of you, and yeah. I can certainly refer people to you, because it is hard for, it's difficult for young people to go away to treatment, and it's also difficult to find appropriate treatment for young people.
Yeah, and again, this, you know, Jenny, I'm here today, nearly speechless, but very humbled by this, you know, I just kind of went in there and given the family's prohibitions against rehab, really,
you're like, okay.
Well, yeah, I just kind of got to go in there and it's like one of those cooking shows. Like I have these ingredients and I got to make something, you know, I got to bake this cake somehow with what's left in the kitchen and see if we can do it. It worked out this time. But I mean, you know, he, of course he did the work, he does the things. And so like, for instance, one of the things, he has a job. It's a job working in a large clothing chain, you know, sporting clothing chain, we'll say. We won't mention the company. I'm sure they're a fine company. But, you know, one of the things was, man, I'm not happy folding. One of the things he does is he folds a lot of clothes.
Oh, boy. Been there.
But that can be kind of a zen mindfulness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we had another goal in that to talk to the supervisor to place orders or whatever, so we could have, or at least pump his resume up to say, hey, I placed orders and, you know, kind of dipped my toe into the
logistics. You had that strategy, side. Yeah.
So we're gonna make this hourly job. We're gonna pencil whip it and put lipstick on it a little bit. So that it has merit and has value, and you know, he's just not treading water and folding clothes and doing something repetitious for nothing, because that's where a teenage or a young adult mind, he's not a teenager, a young adult mind might like, fuck this job, this is bullshit, I hate it, and you know what I
mean? Yeah, yeah, so not worth it.
Kind of hold them up, you know, hold the line, and you know, pair that off with school. So you know, so yeah, I think that's something that is going well. Let's talk. So I want him to share a little bit about what happened. So before he went to his coaching certification program, he and I were in a session. I had an emergency call from a friend of my family who had a 18 or 19 year old sister who was all but going to violate her Tarrant County probation. She's probably looking at state jail.
Yeah.
Some sort of a weekend jail at a minimum. Mm-hmm. You know, just keeps on using drugs. I said, you know what? Just come on in. Just come on in. You know what I mean? You know how helpers are. And I said, hey, do I have your consent?
Yeah.
Talk to somebody. And I asked the caregiver of the woman coming in-ish, hey, just come on in and talk. I got a young man here with me who knows a little bit about this. I mean, it really was God. I mean, you know, so they come in and go ahead and talk about what some of your thoughts were, what happened once we were all sat down.
Yeah, so I was nervous at first because this is the first time that I'd ever, you know, that I was going to talk to someone, you know, talk to a young girl about, a young woman about this. And so I was nervous, and then the conversation went on. She told her story and it became real, and you know, she started crying, and that impacted me because I saw how real it was. And it just kind of came natural. I thought I told her my story. I thought I really connected with her and her older sister as well. And I thought, you know, I mean, she was definitely listening to what Bruce was saying, and Bruce was definitely connecting with her. I just think that I had a connection with her that she wouldn't have been able to get, you know, with someone who's not.
Right.
She knows that I've been where she was at that
point. Yeah. So, you're not textbook. You've had the experience. You've earned the right to talk about that.
Exactly. And I think she really, you know, liked that part. And I think what I said really resonated with her. At least I hope it did. For me, yeah, and for me, it was a huge confidence builder going into the course, because this was like 2 or 3 days before the life coach class. So,
had you already decided to go into recovery coaching?
Well, yeah, I had put him in the pipeline.
Bruce decided.
No, that's not true. I play a very instrumental role in that. There we go.
That's awesome.
And I fell in love with it, so
Yeah, it's not my idea. It's his idea. I just, you know me, just helping people.
I know. And then this opportunity was totally just dynamic, organic, and it built your confidence.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I wasn't trashing meetings, but man, there is that mini meeting experience where, I mean, he is literally either 1 year older than this young girl, or he's less than a year old than her. I mean, that bond, that connectivity, man, you can't beat it. I mean, like you said, to his point, hey, I know she was listening to me or whatever, but the qualitative energy, I think that was going between them, the young lady and her older sister. I mean, they were both, I mean, just lit up with tears, and that shocking, because I didn't even know. I had to think twice, like, what are you saying? Just,
you're like, what?
Yeah, kung fu word he said. I don't know what the hell he did, but he knocked them out. And no, just kidding. I mean, in a good way. And so, right. I mean, I just, even for me experientially, it's like, whoa, I mean, this is just one of those moments where you're talking, and I hate to say the words, but it's true. The experience, strength, and hope,
Yeah.
And obviously what I'm doing here and what he's learning and what I'm doing, I'm teaching him all the recovery principles, one day at a time. And
right.
Hope he does it. And, helping people find a spiritual component to themselves and those things. And so we're doing all that work. It's just, it just takes place, in a one-on-one format. And at least right now,
that's amazing. It's just amazing. I know a lot of young people that have a difficult time with the language in AA, and I can understand that. I mean, I had trouble with the language before I was in there and understood a little bit more about it, but there is that barrier. So, there are a lot of different ways to recover. People have proven that over the years. And if you can connect with young people with your powerful story, and I mean, that's what they need. They need peers like you to connect with them. And I had a potential client this week that I was thinking, oh, if there was just a young recovery coach for him that I knew. Seriously, because he needs more than life coaching right now. He needs a daily coach, and he needs support throughout the day right now. So that's just, there's such a need for this. And I think you guys have got a little business there that you could develop just in this area of the city.
Or, yeah, exactly. And again, it wasn't, it's kind of like the way our show's formed out. The show isn't about you and I, Jenny, it's about other people and other coaches and spreading the gospel of coaching. So this kind of worked out that way, that this is what I was handed, and we were making it work and really working this out and working it through. And I think it is going to turn into something, really special, but it is something that I'll say that is, not easily replicable. I mean, he really is the round peg for the round hole type of thing. So that's just something that I, a lot of that really is kind of God given talent. And, it's really interesting. You talked about some of the language of AA and sometimes I remember I had a supervisor tell me when I was in grad school, he said, man, telling an 18, 19 year old, about trying to work on their spiritual recovery is like telling a schizophrenic, have a nice day. It's just, right. Because the schizophrenic just can't have a nice day. The schizophrenic is just haunted with psychosis and hallucinate, and such is the young adult. I mean, in terms of, unless they already have some sort of openness or an orientation, man, that is just not going to be. You've got to work on the recovery first. You got to work on the absence and life skills and dated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And really build this other behavioral foundation. Now, make no mistake about it, that they're going to have to reckon with that at some point.
Right.
But we're not pushing that aside by any means. So I don't want to get any hate mail saying that, I'm not denying the spiritual component. Nobody is. It has a lick of sense, but not at first, you know. First things first, you know, another fantastic saying, you know. So, anyway, but it's pretty interesting.
Wow, it's amazing. So talk about, share with us about how you are approaching this as how you're offering your services as a coach, Kyle.
Yeah, through your website, Facebook.
So basically, I'm gonna be a recovery coach to these adolescents, and I'm in the process right now of, you know, building a website, Facebook page,
kind of
the whole deal. And I just went through the life coaching class, so I'm officially certified now, and you know, now it's time to jump on that.
I mean, honestly, Jenny, I'll probably, you know. Fusion Dallas was interested in somebody recently. There's the Keller Counseling Association. There's the Northeast Tarrant County Association. Then there's the Flow. There's one in Flower Man, and I spoke at it, and I forget the acronym, the FLAM or whatever it is.
Oh, but FLOMO something.
Something, yeah. I mean, then there's another South Lake area meetup. I mean, so I could probably drag him to some of those. You know what I mean?
Surely
he's going to pick up a few referrals there. I think with this, it's really strange with him. You know, a guy like me is more amenable to be sold on internet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think this young man, why we can create a presence for him that he just needs to have as a coach. I really think people seeing him and hearing him, hearing him talk, Jenny, he's very low key. A lot of people like me that are in the addiction treatment field are very rawr, you know, dropping F bombs and gesticulating and stomping my feet like a Baptist preacher and, you know, you need to work for it. No, I'm not, you know, whatever. And he's really he really is the antithesis of that, which is good though. It's disarming. So I think, you know, so I think, yeah, we'll just see how, again, just like everything else, we'll just kind of go through we'll go through the steps and then we'll see where it leads. And
so let me ask you this. Let's just say that a mom called you with a 19-year-old son with ongoing substance abuse issues. How would you describe what you do for him? And I'm asking this mainly so that I understand what services you offer and that our listeners do. So that's not a trick question. Okay. It's really a real question. Like, it will help me so that I know, like, who to send your way.
Yeah, so I'd let him know, 20-year-old youth recovery coach that, okay, you know, grew up in this area, and I know what it's like living here and whatnot. And I'm just going to work with him, you know, to the best of my ability and, you know, give him my full undivided attention and just work with him on, you know, getting sober and maintaining his sobriety without, you know, an emphasis on relapse prevention and, you know, so he can go on to live his full potential. And, you know, that's whatever that takes. So, you know, keeping him accountable.
Okay. That's awesome.
It's just applying coaching principles and accountability to this person and being very clear, you know, I'm a 20-year-old recovery coach and, you know, there's a bandwidth with that. So anyway, you know, he's not licensed or not, you know, psychotherapist or an LCDC. It is what it is. And then,
and he's got the practical steps that worked for you, and you had the support of Bruce, of a professional. And so you still have that support. That's really awesome too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think you would do like daily accountability stuff? Would that be part of what you would offer, do you think?
Yeah, at the beginning, definitely, you know.
Okay.
Because it's not like I'm going to be flooded with clients, you know, right at the beginning, so.
Oh, you might be.
I'm going to be very hands-on, very, you know, okay. Phone call away or text message away, so.
Okay, great. That's good to know also. Because I'll get referrals like that from parents because of having worked at Fusion Academy. And it's not something that I do, the daily coaching and accountability. So I'm usually working with people that have been in recovery a while. And so those are people I could refer to you.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be phenomenal. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a stuck point for me in knowing that that's not my niche, but they need it. That's what they need. So you'll go up to 20 years old, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, any older, I feel like it's just awkward at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a 21-year-old that was super.
Yeah.
Not 21.
Right, right.
Beyond that, we kind of mutually thought that, hey, let's just keep it a really simple service line, you know, recovery coaching for youth, and that's it, one service line. I think less is more in this case, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I feel like I'd be more comfortable around, you know, people a little younger, the same age as me, opposed to, you know, working with a 25-year-old or older, so.
Well, that's one of the biggest keys to success in any business, and especially in coaching, Kyle, is to know your target market and to stick to it. And you already are so clear on that. And, you know, I just know a lot of people that are my age, it's hard to be specific like that and stick to it. And so, you already have that. That's really a great strength.
I mean, it's a great strength. It just happens to be a natural, it's a static strength in terms of its chronological age. It's dynamic because it grows, I guess, 1 year at a time, every 3 years.
Right. This year, he's the 20 and under coach. Right. Next year, he's the 21 and under coach.
Grand opening, man, for 21-year-olds, man. Release the hounds, man.
It's sort of like how they build a new high school. They start with ninth grade, and they just keep on going up to 12.
Right. And I think, you know, in terms of stakeholders and parents and caregivers and even his clients, you know, I think would appreciate that boundary. So,
yes,
you know, that. It's kind of wonderfully designed that, you know, that it just seems so clear, so natural, you know. And Kyle discussed this, like, he absolutely doesn't want to see anybody older than him, you know what I mean, that they just wouldn't even think of it that way. So I think that's really good.
Yes.
From intrinsically, from the coaching perspective versus a business perspective, like, yeah, come on, come on, I'm going to blow up. No. Stick with this. And I think, honestly, the way I feel about this, he's going to be, that's going to be a blessing. And I think, like you said, Jenny, and hearing you talk is kind of giving me the willies in a good way. But yeah, you're right. I thinking about the underserved need of the teen population. The United States, not just North Texas, but just everywhere. I think he has a pretty big chance of getting kind of busy here in the next 6 months. So,
oh yeah, I mean, think about your parents, Kyle, and I know you've thought about this. They would have done anything to help you, and they would have paid any amount of money and gone to any length because they loved you and believed in you, but. There were probably many times where they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. That was
so. And interestingly, because rehab wasn't an option, coaching was the only option.
That's right.
There, mm-hmm. that that was there. And think about it, Jenny. I mean, you roll up to any teenager or 20-year-old and say, which would you rather do, coaching or rehab? I'm like, hey, for coaching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
House and swim at the pool. And
it's,
you know,
so,
I mean,
true.
So, yeah, I think it's on its face. It's a real good option. It's just kind of ironic here that I was scratching. Yeah.
And what it does, too, it could in the future kind of break those barriers for someone who needs treatment but isn't willing, because if they try coaching and they're not able to do it, then there are probably other issues underlying. And then everyone would know that that was the best option. That treatment was the best option. It's not always the best option.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm sure I'm not gonna be able to help everyone that I come across, unfortunately. And, you know, in that situation, yeah, I'll talk to Bruce and, you know, see what the best option would be, if that's rehab or, you know, some other type of treatment. So,
but they may have never gotten treatment if they hadn't come to you in the first place. That's the cool thing. Or never gotten help, whatever. It's not that everybody needs treatment, but if somebody did and they weren't willing and they came to you, you might be the messenger eventually.
Exactly. And hopefully, you know, I'm able to connect with them to the level where they're, you know, they trust me, and they, if I, you know, let's say I were to recommend rehab, that they believe that, you know, coming from me, that's the best option.
Yes. Where they wouldn't listen to parents at that time. Yeah. Yeah. Bruce, I know you won't toot your own horn, but I will, because this is so cool that you're willing to work with him, and you knew you could as long as he was willing, and that you invested that time and energy in him, and you could see a vision of what he could do to help others like him.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be appreciative, you know, to Bruce for the rest of my life for that, you know, for these past couple months. So I'm just so thankful.
Mm. Well, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just everybody working together, man. It's a team approach. And, you know, mom, even stepdad, mom, me, you know, you, the folks at the coaching school. And, you know, it's everybody working together to kind of feed Kyle and give him the information he needs. And, like, it's work in progress, there's a lot of humility there. But I'm excited about this because, you know, I've always been – I get excited to help kind of create new portals of entry. I mean, we have inpatient treatment, we have IOP, we have just outpatient treatment, and we have just kind of counseling. And so really to kind of look at recovery coaching as a coaching paradigm that's really not very invasive, you know what I mean? And it's,
I know,
based on self principles. And if that fails, I can look in the mirror, Kyle can look in the mirror and tell the parents and tell his client, hey,
yeah,
you may want to think about a different level of service because your problem is greater than my ability to coach that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's good. And that way,
yeah,
they can kind of buy in and say, you know what? I really am powerless over alcohol or whatever. My life's unmanageable and I need to, or whatever. I need to kind of move on to a more structured rehabilitative effort. So I'm really thrilled, and I think, you know, and I think he has a good head on his shoulders. You know, back when I was young, I would think, oh, I failed because John Doe is still smoking dope, or he relapsed for 4 or 5 times, and I guess I wasn't a good enough person. Well, no, we know mm-hmm. that addiction is cunning, powerful, and baffling, and that, you know, mm-hmm. hey, it just shows that in that mirror that he really needs. He or she, but we'll say he, you know, needs that next level of service. So, no, I'm excited about offering that portal of entry for youth. And I think parents and counselors and, right, allied coaches like mm-hmm. yourself, Jenny, they're excited. It's just exciting to hear that there's a young guy out there that has a skill set and an outlook to help these folks.
I mean, it's huge. I can't tell you how many times I think about it, how there's such a need for that in between, that support in between, either before treatment if they need treatment, or after treatment when they're newly sober, or they're, what do you call it? They're contemplating if what their, how big their problem is, and do they want to change, that pre-contemplation stage. And then those that maybe can't afford, aren't willing for treatment, don't really need treatment. And so you had a certain type of treatment. It was more concierge, which is what Bruce does. And so that's, there's a huge need for it. And we got to have coffee in FloMo sometime.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I'll be next thing smoking here. We'll get that lined up so we can all go.
Yeah.
Put a grapevine or wherever we went last time. It's not too crowded in that crazy place. But, you know what, Jenny, I think you stumbled on something real important. We talk about that DeClementi Petrasca motivational interviewing and change, but you talk about that, you know, there's that pre-contemplation, and you have contemplation, and then you have action. Mm-hmm. Well, what a perfect time for coaching when somebody's in that pre-contemplation of contemplation. You see what I mean?
Yes, because it's like motivational interviewing in a way. What is it you want?
I mean, it is. It's a form of it. I mean, in a way.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, in a way. But so, that's great because you could go ahead. Jesus. Oh, no. No, but so I think that's just, again, as I'm looking at this now more objectively after us talking, Jenny, like that, yeah, you're right, man. This could be used for that stage of thinking.
Yes. Very effective. Yes. Like, is there really a problem?
Exactly. And a lot of the times, you know, it's hard for them to, you know, being the one in that position, it's hard for them to tell themselves if they're, how big their problem really is. So
having
already able to objectively look at it and see, like, okay, yeah, you do have a problem. Like, you need to get treatment or.
Yeah. Or you need coaching. I mean, one of our daughters could have utilized your services years ago because she wasn't in a place where she was addicted, but she was abusing substance and it could have killed her. So, you know, so she didn't really need treatment, but she needed intervention, life intervention. So will you work with male and female, or how are you going to do that?
Yeah. Both male. Okay. And really just, it's the only discrimination is the age. So.
Okay. Excellent.
20. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad that we had this miniature crisis session with the female. I thought it went really well, and it was very professional. And
yeah,
I felt like the vibe that was there was a professional one. You know what I mean? And so, coming from a prison background and working in a women's pen for 6 years, I'm kind of leery of, you know. In the same room, you know, being a Southern Baptist, you can't, nobody, there, nobody, nothing, separate, just kidding. No, but I think that, I think that'd be a good thing. And just knowing that there's somebody there. And again, a young person will look at themselves differently with a peer in the room than an adult, like if I'm in the room, you know, they really are. Yeah. They'll be able to look at themselves probably a little bit better.
Yes.
There's always that expectation.
I know.
Particularly a guy, you know, middle-aged guy like me in the room, because they kind of know they're going to play the field that's what I'm going to be looking for. So.
Well, and here's, go ahead, Bruce.
That's it.
But what happens with me is that the parent will call me because they'll know me or know about me or hear about me through Fusion, and they'll call about their young adult, their teenager or young adult. And in most cases, I really want to coach the parent because I think I'm more effective with the parent than the young adult or the teen. When it really comes to a long-term relationship, I think young people are more effective with young people. And if they've got, you know, the qualifications like Kyle has. And so I'd love to be able to do some partnering on that and say, okay, I've got the person for your son or your daughter, and then I'd like to work with you because they need support as well and understanding on how to support their loved one and how to take care of themselves.
Definitely. I mean, and that was definitely part of his story.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. A couple of sessions, because you just said you'd like to coach the parent. Like my mom sat in on the sessions, and she'd come in like 30 minutes before I would, and, you know, talk to Bruce. And I could definitely tell this time around, like, my mom has always been supportive, but this time it was like the right support. Like she, I mean, I can't blame her.
It felt differently this time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I could tell she really understood what was happening, and she was great. And, you know, with like her being coached on that allowed me to achieve what I was being coached on, you know, the dual.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You're right, and Jenny, I was just lucky enough to be able to play both to play both hands.
Yes, you're talented enough to do that. You're experienced enough to do that.
Well, I mean, as you know, it's not. It's also just that's it. I mean, who else is going to do that work?
I know. It's a family deal.
Well, let me refer you out to another person who understands the coaching. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could refer her out to you, but then, you know, I mean, but I think just knowing his mom needed energy, needed engagement and needed a high energy guy, you know, it's kind of.
Well, and really she needed education and advice and expertise. And that's, you know, because you were in an acute situation there.
Yeah. So, but again, what a great time, you know. Again, what a blessing, you know, for me to have been, you know, trained as a coach and doing recovery coaching more so with executives. But I just can't tell you for me what a treat it is to, you know, facilitate a young man's career as a recovery coach with a very, you know, specified target. I just feel like it's like. You know, doing a fun science fair project every day. No, but really, it's just been really fun, you know, just to see this grow and see him grow. But also, after seeing that young woman on that crisis thing, I can't tell you the energy that was in the room. It blew me away. And I'm a tough customer to blow away, man. I've seen everything.
You're like, I can do a lot of things, but that's one thing I can't do.
I was really, really, really taken aback by that. And again, when the young lady's sister called and said, man, you know, Kyle just really just kind of, you know, touched us and this and that. I mean, blew me away. And again, very understated and bracketed, you know, phraseology and things that he said and the way he said it. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we'll great. So yeah, but, you know, and Jenny, thanks for your feedback, man. I feel, I know we're freaking out going, wow, really? We're going
to
be,
you really got something there. I'm telling you, we need to have coffee.
I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to.
The three of us. So we'll have coffee in FloMo where it's not as crowded, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got me. That's a home field,
home base. Yeah.
But I'll definitely brave the traffic.
So, it's not bad.
I know.
You're spoiled.
I know. I'm spoiled brat, man. So, what is your, did you get your domain yet? Did you buy it for your domain or anything yet? Or we'll just hold on that and broadcast that another time for your,
Haven't bought it yet. It's available. Kyle, the recovery coach.
Kyle, the recovery coach.
Love it.
Or recovery coach Kyle, which are either or, they're both available. So I got to go on GoDaddy and reserve that URL.
Yeah, we'll let our listeners know that later on. So he'll be up there, and you can Google him, and he'll be on Facebook and have a page pretty soon. But or folks can just reach me at conciergecoach.net. We'll get you in touch with Kyle there.
Okay.
Do you have a cell phone number you want to get?
469-771-7190.
Say that one more time.
And that's 469-771-7190.
All right. Well, that is awesome. I appreciate you coming on the show today, Kyle. These discussions are always just so powerful, and have Jenny in there, adding her insight onto it. It just really, we're excited. I think that Jenny added, a lot to this. And,
a little something.
A lot of something. You know what I mean?
It's good talk.
It is going to be like a wildfire.
It is.
So thank you for that, Jenny. And so folks, come by and see our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show. Also, the show's archived on the latalkradio.com/content/concierge-coaches-show. And also listen to us on iTunes. All of our shows are available to our listeners for free on iTunes. And so feel free to bring the show or any show up and listen to past episodes of the show. And Jenny, how can folks reach you?
People can reach me at jhubconsulting.com. That's J-H-U-B. It's my nickname. And J-Hub Consulting on Facebook as well, or Jenny Hubby at Facebook.
Awesome. So there it is. Another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. Be with us next week. I have an exciting guest and program for everyone to listen to. And we'll see everybody next week here on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.